I want you to find your place in two separate books of the Bible. I want you to find Numbers chapter 14 and then Joshua chapter 14. Two chapter 14s, Numbers chapter 14 and Joshua chapter number 14. It is my privilege to be in this place again. I want you to know that every Monday I pray for this school. And I'm praying that God will keep His hand upon this place. And we praise God for what He's doing here and what He's continuing to do. It's good to see Mr. Dalton again, sir. God bless you. I'm not sure it brings back good memories, but anyway, brings back great memories seeing you, but your class, I'm not sure about it, you know. But I praise God for it. And I praise God for this place. And I praise God for what He's doing in your midst. And it's a privilege to be standing here in this pulpit. I want you to know that. I want to be a blessing to you. I really mean that. The Lord's been good to this school. And we give Him all the praise. Amen. I want you to find your place in Numbers chapter 14 first. That's where we'll read our text from. Numbers chapter 14. I hope you have your finger in Joshua chapter 14 because we'll be going back and forth between those two chapters. Numbers chapter 14 verse 22. This is the Lord speaking, and He says, "Because all those men which have seen My glory and My miracles which I did in Egypt, and in the wilderness, and have tempted Me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to My voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers. Neither shall any of them that provoke Me see it." I want you to notice verse 24. "But My servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and hath followed Me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it." If you mark your Bible, I want you to mark a phrase in verse number 24. I want you to mark the name Caleb, and then mark the phrase, "He had another spirit with him." And I want to preach to you this morning on this subject, Caleb, the man with another spirit. The man with another spirit. Let's pray together. Our Father, we love You this morning. We thank You for the privilege of bowing our heads. Thank You that the veil has been torn in two from the top to the bottom. And I pray, God, that You help me to preach this morning. I cannot preach without Your help. I confess before You and before all these dear folks that if You do not help me, God, nothing will be accomplished. May You preach through me. Forgive my sin. Help me to be a clean vessel. And help me not to hinder You in any way, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We can all remember the story beginning in Numbers chapter 13 when the Lord told Moses to send a man from every tribe to spy out the land of Canaan. Now, among these 12 spies was a man by the name of Caleb. Now, when these spies came back, 10 of them gave an evil report in which the people did not follow here. In other words, they discouraged the people. However, Caleb, along with Joshua, gave a good report in which the people did not follow them, and as a result of the people's disbelief, God sentenced them to a life of wilderness wandering. Now, while the Lord is in progress of passing sentence on these unbelievers, He speaks concerning Caleb in verse 24, saying, "But Caleb, My servant, had another spirit." In other words, there was something different about Caleb when compared to the others. He didn't go along with the crowd of his day. He had another spirit. He didn't go along with the doubts and fear of that day. He had another spirit about him. He didn't go along with the peer pressure of beating and beating around him and breathing down his neck. No, he had another spirit. And as we fast forward to Joshua chapter 14, I'm not going to read it for time's sake, we see that he's now 45 years older. Here in Numbers chapter 14, he's 40 years of age. In Joshua chapter 14, he's 85 years of age. And yet we see that even from 40 to 85, we see Caleb still had at age 85, he still had the other spirit that caused God's blessing to be on his life. And let me pause here and say that in a world full of doubts and fears, may God give us some more Calebs with another spirit. In a world where many are just going along, may God give us some Calebs with another spirit. In a world of compromise and ungodliness, may God raise up some Calebs with another spirit. Make no mistakes about it. When compared to the world around him, sin running rampant, disbelief on every hand, ungodliness breathing down his neck, God said about Caleb, he has another spirit. What our churches need, what this school needs, what your church needs, what your family needs. They need a Caleb that says, I don't care what the world does, I'm going to have another spirit about me that causes God to look down and say, I like that. I'm going to tell you something. I want God, when He sees my life, to see something different than He sees around the world. I want Him to see a different spirit when He looks at me. And I trust that you want Him to see the same in your life. And what I want to do this morning is I want to give you four things that summarize the spirit of Caleb that caused God to look down upon him and say, as I see all this sin and all this ungodliness and this nation turning against me, sound familiar? Sounds a whole lot like America. And what I'm saying to you is, as a nation was turning against God, God said, let me tell you something about that man right there, Caleb. I like him. He's got another spirit. I want to give you four things to summarize the spirit. Number one, first of all, we see he had the spirit of believing God's word. There's no doubt about it. Look at chapter 13 of Numbers, verse number 1. The Bible says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan. Now notice this, which I give unto the children of Israel. Notice that God had already promised them before they ever stepped foot into the land of Canaan. He already had given them His promise that He was going to give them the land. But we notice in chapter 13, verse 30, look at it, and Caleb sealed the people. Now notice that this is after the 10 spies have come back, and they say, we're not able to take it, and they're discouraging the people. But in verse 30 it says, and Caleb, there he had sealed the people before Moses, and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Look at chapter 14, verse 6, and Joshua the son of Nun, Numbers chapter 14, verse 6, and Caleb, there he is, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes, and they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then He will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Now I want you to flip over to Joshua chapter 14. We're going to be flipping back and forth to Numbers 14, Joshua 14. Look at Joshua chapter 14 and verse number 6. The Bible says, then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal. And Caleb, there he is, the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses the man of God concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses the servant of the Lord sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again as was in mine heart. Look at verse number 9. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. Look at verse number 12. Now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. And what I see in Numbers chapter 14 as a 40-year-old man, in Joshua chapter 14 as an 85-year-old man, I see a man who had the spirit that if God said it, he believed it. And I'm going to tell you something, young people, and I can get away by saying young people now. It is something that you need to understand. When God tells you something, you can believe it and trust it, because He will keep His word. Amen. What a testimony that this man, in the midst of a nation who did not believe God, I'm talking about the nation turning against God, in the midst of a nation that was ready to stone him alive, in Numbers 14, verse 10, when his world changed drastically after refusal to enter Canaan, even at the end of his life in Joshua chapter 14, we see Caleb had the spirit of simply believing God and believing His holy word. He had faith in the word of God. And because he believed God, he withstood unbelievers. He claimed all God had for him, and he drove out the Anakims, that's the giants, at age 85 in Joshua 15, 13, and 14. And it's interesting that the Bible tells us in verse number 11 of Joshua 14 that he had as much strength when he was 85 years old as he did when he was 40. Now what does that mean? That means that God always provides the strength to claim all of His promises, we need to believe the Word of God. Believe Him. Todd was a 3-year-old boy from Rhode Island. He went down to the seacoast to fly a kite with his daddy. But he had never seen a kite fly. He's only 3. Obviously, he had doubts, but his father assured him, said, "All is well, son, and the kite will fly." Todd unraveled the string and watched the kite go up, and he was heard to say this, and I quote, "I knew it would fly, Daddy, because you said it would." Let me tell you something. When God says it, you need to believe it. Caleb had the spirit of whatever God says, I'm going to believe it. Over in Burma, a man by the name of Judson, Adoniram Judson, was lying in a foul jail with 32 pounds of chains on his ankles, his feet bound to a bamboo pole, and a fellow prisoner said, "Dr. Judson, what about the prospect of the conversion of the heathen?" With a sneer on his face, this man asked that question. And Dr. Judson simply said, "The prospects are just as bright as the promises of God." Ever heard of the Wesley brothers, Charles and John Wesley? John tells a story about his brother Charles that amid the difficulties of his early ministry, he used to say, "If the Lord would give me wings, I would fly." John said, "I'd answer him and say, if the Lord bid me fly, I'd trust Him to give me the wings." No doubt about it. God, give us the spirit of Caleb. My heart is broken. I'm convicted. Because too many times I don't believe God. We need to believe His Word. There's a song that goes, "Have faith in God. He's on His throne. Have faith in God. He watches o'er His own. He cannot fail. He must prevail. Have faith in God. Have faith in God." Young people, you need to understand something just like I do. When God says it, we need to believe it. I remember when my boy Judson, he's 6 years old now. He was about, I guess 3. I remember one day I was in my bedroom with him, and Judson was standing up on the bed. And for him, I mean, that's a high, well, for me, it's a high bed too, because, you know, I preached on Zacchaeus lately, and our people got a kick out of me preaching on Zacchaeus, you understand. But anyway, yes, good. Thank you for that. But Judson was standing at the edge of the bed, and I was standing right there in front of him, but I held my arms down. I wanted to test him. I held my arms down like this, and he was looking at me, and I said, "Jump, son, Daddy will catch you." Now, I wasn't doing this. The only thing he had to go on was my word. You with me? And he come to the edge of the bed, and he's doing this. He wanted to jump so bad he could taste it. And all of a sudden, when he was doing this, he jumped. You know what I did? I dropped him. No, I'm just kidding with you. You know what I did? I did exactly what I told him I would do. Do you understand what that did for me when he jumped? Do you understand what he was telling his daddy? He said, "I believe you, Daddy. And I'm going to tell you something. If you'd have stood in my way, guy or girl, I'd have knocked you out of the way to catch him." I'll tell you why. Because I gave him my word. And I was going to keep my word. Let me ask you a question. Has God got you at the end of the bed right now? And you're doing this? You know He wants you to jump? Some of it's just, are you listening? Some of it's your school bill right now. Some of you, it's something else that you're dealing with at home. And you realize God's already given you a promise. He's already brought you to the edge of the bed, and He's saying, "Jump, I'll catch you." Will you jump? Or will you waste time doing this? He had the spirit of believing God. Somebody said faith is never a blind leap, but a deep, settled conviction that God will do what He's promised. During the terrible days of the Blitz, a father was holding his small boy by the hand. And they ran from a building that had been struck by a bomb. In the front yard, there was a shell hole, and it was big enough for the man to jump down into. So he jumped down into the hole first, seeking shelter. But his boy was still standing on the outside. And as this dad jumped down in that hole to make sure that everything was fine, he called up to his boy and he said, "Jump, son, Daddy will catch you." But the hole was covered with smoke. And the boy couldn't see his daddy. Only thing he could hear was his voice. And the man kept calling, "Jump, I'll catch you, jump, I'll catch you." But the boy called down and said, "Daddy, I can't see you, I can't see you, I can't see you." And the dad looked up and said, "But I can see you, son. And that's all that really matters." And I'm going to tell you something. Every now and then God brings you to a hole where it's not easy to see. But you can hear His voice. And He's speaking to you and He's giving you promises. And I'm telling you, be like Caleb. Believe whatever God tells you. Have the spirit of believing God. Number two, my third and fourth points go pretty quick. Now you realize when a preacher says that, he's lying to you, right? Just trying to make you feel good about it. Number one, he had the spirit of believing God and His Word. Number two, this is convicting. And I believe this is why the Lord laid this message on my heart. He had the spirit of following God completely. We see this in Joshua chapter 14. I want you to look at it, please. Look at Joshua chapter 14 and verse number 8. Now, this is Caleb speaking about himself. He said, "Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God." You know, it's one thing for somebody to say it about themselves, isn't it? Caleb's saying it about himself here. He's saying, "I wholly followed the Lord." You know what that word "wholly" means? It means completely. It means he could do no more than he did. It's one thing for him to say it about himself, right? But look at verse number 9. "And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God." Wait a minute. Now Moses is saying it about him. Now that's something else, isn't it? I mean, he's saying it about himself, but now Moses had said it about him. You understand? That's one thing when you think it about yourself. It's another thing when a man like Moses says it about you. But that's not my message. Flip back to Numbers chapter 14. Hold your place here in Joshua 14. Flip to Numbers chapter 14 and look at verse 24. Now God is speaking. Not Moses. Not Caleb, but God. And God says in verse 24, "But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him," notice it, "and hath followed me fully." You know, it's one thing when you say it about yourself. It's another thing when Moses says it about you. But it's a complete ballgame when God makes the same statement about you. God said this about Caleb, and this cuts me. God said Caleb could not do anything more. He can't get any closer than he is. He can't serve me any better than he's serving me. He can't give me anything else. He's already given it all. God stepped out and said, "Caleb has completely followed me." What a thought. Are we following God completely? Completely. Does He have our full attention? Are we going all out for God? Now, by the way, you cannot be following God completely and have unconfessed sin in your life. It's impossible. You cannot be following God completely and disrespect your authority. And I'm going to tell you something I've learned in my generation, because you're part of it. My generation, are you listening to me? I'm talking about God's people I went to school with, all those kind of, are you listening to me? They don't understand biblical authority and submission to it. Now I'm going to tell you something. The problem with that is they're not following God completely. No doubt about it. You cannot be following God completely and holding on to the world with this hand. Does God have your complete allegiance? Are you completely exhausting yourself for God? Can God look down on this right here now in this chapel service and call your name and say, "Let me tell you something about he or she. He or she cannot do any more than they're doing for me. They can't do any more. They're completely following me wholly. There's nothing else they can give, no more they can do, nothing else at all." that convicts me. You can't say that you're following God completely and not reading your Bible every day. Are you completely following God? By the way, when you completely follow Him, He can use you to feed the world. God help us. When Julius Caesar landed on the shores of Britain with his Roman legions, he took a bold and decisive step to ensure the success of his military campaign would take place. When his men were on the edge of the cliffs of Dover, he commanded them to look down over the cliff. Because, see, they had come across on ships. That's how they made it to that shore. And when they looked down, every one of their ships were caught on fire. He had every one of them put on fire. Because he didn't want anybody to retreat. You see that? There's nothing they could do. They couldn't leave. The only thing they could do was go forward and conquer. And that's exactly what they did. And let me say this to you. There are too many Christians who've left themselves some sort of an escape hatch back into the old life. And we need to burn every bridge that leads back to the old life and set our minds on the task that we are going to sail out lock, stock, and barrel to our God who's been good to us. I wonder, have you done that? See, these three little girls were talking about their daddies. One of them said, my father's a doctor. He practices medicine. The other one said, my dad's an attorney and he practices law. But the third one said, my daddy's a Christian. He doesn't practice that anymore. The story is told of a man who rode in his car as it was being towed to be repaired. And when they arrived at the repair shop, the tow truck driver told him, I didn't think I was going to make it up that big hill back there. The man replied, I didn't either. That's why I kept the brakes on all the way. I wonder, are you living with total dedication to Christ? Does He have everything you are? Does He have everything that you have? Have you given Him everything? Or you say, God, you can have that, you can have that, you can have that, but you can't have that. Are you listening? You don't give Him everything. You don't give Him nothing. May the Lord help you with this. Charles Spurgeon told about the deep love and devotion that French soldiers had for their leader, Napoleon. He noted that it was not at all unusual for a mortally wounded soldier to raise himself up on one elbow. In other words, he's dying, but as he would see his general, Napoleon, he would raise himself up on one elbow just to give his general a final salute. If by chance a dying man saw Napoleon nearby, with his final breath, he would salute him. But he tells of a certain man who was a soldier who had been shot in the chest. The bullet was lodged in this young man's chest. And as the surgeon was attempting to remove the bullet, now I want you to listen to this. The suffering man was heard to whisper this. Now keep in mind, the surgeon is cutting in his chest, close to his heart, trying to find the bullet. And as he's cutting into his chest, this man whispered, if you go much deeper, doctor, you'll come to the emperor. Now what does that mean? That means that he had the emperor on his heart. And he's saying, if you cut me and you go all the way to my heart, you're going to find Napoleon right there. You know, it's a sad day when these French soldiers have more allegiance to Napoleon than a child of God has to Jesus Christ. Is Christ on your heart? Have you given Him everything? Colossians 3:23, whatsoever you do, do it heartily. As to the Lord, not unto men. Psalm 119:145, I cried with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord, I will keep Thy statutes. I'm a married man, married to a wonderful lady. And I'm going to tell you something, my wife does not need, and nor does she want, 85% of my faithfulness. My wife doesn't want 99% of my faithfulness. She deserves better than that anyway. She wants 100%. And by the way, she's got it. Let me ask you a question. Why should my wife expect more out of me than my God does? Something to think about, isn't it? Something to think about. You ever heard the name William Booth, founder of the Salvation Army? You know, God's calmed me down. He really has. I'm not swinging from the chandeliers. I don't do that hardly, well, maybe twice a month or so. No, I'm just kidding with you. Here's what William Booth said. He said, I'll tell you the secret. God has said all there was of me. There have been men with greater brains than I, even with greater opportunities, but from the day I got the poor of London on my heart and caught a vision of what Jesus Christ could do with me and them, on that day I made up my mind that God should have all of William Booth there was. And if there's anything of power in the Salvation Army, it's because God has had all the adoration of my heart, all the power of my will, and all the influence of my life. Now, I'm convicted of my own preaching today. A man by the name of Chrysler, a famous violinist, testified to this point when he said this. He said, narrow's the road that leads to the life of a violinist. Hour after hour, day after day, week after week, for years, I've lived with my violin. There were so many things I wanted to do that I had to leave undone. There were so many places I wanted to go that I had to miss if I was the master of the violin. The road that I traveled was a narrow road. The way was hard. You say, why'd you say that? Because there's a man who devoted his entire life to an instrument. There's some things he wouldn't do because he wanted to master the violin. And how sad it is that a violin has the full allegiance of a man and the living God does not have the full allegiance of his children. Number one, Caleb had the spirit of believing God in his word. Do you believe him? It's easy to say you do. It's hard to prove it. Amen. Number two, he had the spirit of following God completely. Number three, he had the spirit of depending on God for victory. We see this in Joshua chapter 14, verse number 12. Now, let me ask you a question. Had God already promised Caleb the land? Had he? Yes. Had he already promised him a specific piece of the land? Sure he had. He'd already promised him that. But I want to show you something about Caleb. Look at verse number 12 of Joshua chapter 14. Now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there and that the cities were great and fenced. Now notice this. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. Do you see his spirit here? I mean, his spirit is this. You listen, hey, he had gone through many battles. I mean, God had used him to see great victories. And at this time at 85, if he was some, like some Christians are, he'd say, I'll tell you one thing. God, you said over there, I've seen this before. I'll take care of this right here. He said, wait a minute, it's going to be my military might that's going to, it's my military know-how that God's going to use here. No. He had the spirit of saying this, if I get victory, it's all of God. He had the spirit of depending on God for victory. It summarized his life. All through life in Numbers 14, verses 6 to 9, remember it? He and Joshua said, if the Lord will help us, we are able to take care of them. Right here, 45 years later, he's saying, I know God's promised me this, and because he's promised me this, if he will help me, I'll be able to conquer this land. What a spirit. He had the spirit of depending on the ability of God for victory. Now, I'm going to tell you something that the devil's going to try to use in your life, especially you preacher boys. You listening? He's going to try to make you think too highly of yourself. He's going to try to make you think it's your preaching ability and all you got to do is preach and people come in. Are you listening to me? I'm 32 years of age. Preacher just told our church last night. I had him preach at our Christmas dinner. He said it's a sin to be as young as I am. But the fact of the matter is this. The longer I live and the longer I'm in the ministry, I realize and I am conscious it is all God. It's none of me. And all I'm praying right now, not all I'm praying, but a major prayer I'm praying in my own life. And I'm telling the church, I just told them again last night, my major prayer right now for myself and for our church, among many things, but my major prayer is, God, help me not to hinder you. Don't let me hinder you. This past Sunday, and I'm giving him all the praise. He's humbled me. We had a gift Sunday last Sunday, and 15 precious souls trusted Christ last Sunday. Went up to the prison last week. Last Sunday night, we had our annual Christmas service up at the prison, an hour from our church. We had 300 men come to that service, prisoners. 59 of them walked the aisle to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior.
You say, Jody, you sitting at the toot your horn. God knows my heart. Listen to me. I'm not tooting my horn. That's not me. That's the Lord. And I'm going to tell you something. If anything gets done in your ministry, it'll be God to do it, not you. He depended on God for victory. Caleb had the spirit of Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. By the way, you know what biblical humility is? Some people think humility is just walking around like this and throwing dust and ashes up on your head. You listening? That's pride. You know what true humility is? Biblical humility? It's confidence in God. Look at David versus Goliath. And this is not my notes here, but look at David versus Goliath. When Goliath stepped out and he disdained him, the Bible says. And he scoffed at him and said, come to me and I'll feed you the birds and the beasts. What did David say? He said, no, you're not. He said, I'm going to do that to you and all those people back there too. Read it yourself. That's what he said. Now, he sounds cocky, doesn't he? But you read verse 47 and you see where his confidence is. He said, the battle is the Lord's. And what I'm saying to you, you need to have the spirit of Caleb to understand that if any victory is won in your life, it'll be God doing it. He had the spirit of depending on God for victory. Psalm 118:8, it is better to trust in the Lord and to put confidence in man. Then number four. Were you listening well? I appreciate it. Number one, he had the spirit of believing God's word. He had the spirit of following God completely. He had the spirit of depending on God for victory. And number four, he had the spirit of giving God all the praise. We see this in Joshua chapter 14. Look at verse number 10. Now notice, Caleb has seen great things in his life. He's had battles, all these kind of things. But look at verse number 10. And now he's speaking, and now behold, here it is. The Lord hath kept me alive, as he said. He's praising God here. You know, one of the interesting things about Caleb's spirit is that he praised God all the time. Now I want to challenge you with something. I want to challenge you to do a Bible study on something. I want you to do a Bible study on every time Caleb is speaking. Not that he's being spoken about, but when he's speaking. And notice, almost every time he speaks, he's speaking about God. Notice it yourself. You know what we need? We need some young people. I'm talking about people in God's ministry that he's put his hand upon your life. That will refuse to talk more about the sports people than him. And refuse to talk more about all these ungodly Hollywood actors than him. And what I'm saying, we need the spirit of Caleb, not talking about ourselves, not talking about Joshua. Caleb's praise wasn't toward Joshua. Now he respected Joshua. He loved Joshua, but he didn't say, oh, thank you, Joshua, for bringing this in. No, he said, let me tell you something. This is all God's doing. It's marvelous in our eyes. You know, I can see him coming out of Egypt and saying, praise God. But look at that right there, boys. You know, I can see him, I'm talking about walking through the Red Sea and looking to his right and saying, praise God for that. Praise God. Hey, that's, hey, well, isn't God good, folks? You know, I can see him when he's going through the Jordan River saying, here we go again, boy. Look at him. Good night. God's been good to us, hasn't he, guys? I mean, he had the spirit of giving God all the praise. I mean, he's praising God all the time. I mean, he wanted to make sure, don't look at me, look at my God. He's been good to me. Psalm 44:8, in God we boast all the day long and praise thy name forever. Psalm 71:6, by thee have I been holding up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. Psalm 107, 8, 15, 21, 31. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. 1 Peter 2:9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Turn to one more place. Turn over to Psalm 148. I'm just about through here. Psalm 148. And I want to show you something. And let's see what God's trying to tell us. Look at Psalm 148. The Bible says, praise ye the Lord, praise ye the Lord from the heaven, praise Him in the heights. Praise ye Him all His angels, praise ye Him all His hosts. Praise ye Him sun and moon, praise Him all ye stars of light. Praise Him ye heavens of heavens and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded and they were created. He hath also established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and vapors, storm and wind fulfilling his word. Mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl. Kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. He also exalteth the horn of his people and the praise of all of his saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto him. Praise ye the Lord. Any questions? Honestly, any questions? He's saying, I want men, women, boys, girls, sun, moon, stars, light. I want everything to praise me. That's what he's saying. Let me ask you a question. Who has your praise? Somebody does. Somebody's got your praise. Who's got it? Does God have it? Hudson Taylor was scheduled to speak at a large church in Australia, and the moderator got up and said and introduced him as our illustrious guest. Hudson Taylor got up and said, I'm a little servant of an illustrious master. Ever heard the name Samuel Morse, inventor of the telegraph? He was once asked if he ever encountered the situation he didn't know what to do. He immediately responded, more than once. And whenever I couldn't see my way clearly, I knelt down and prayed to God for light and understanding. He received many honors for his invention of the telegraph, but felt undeserving. And he said this, and I quote, I've made a valuable application of electricity, not because I was superior to other men, but solely because God, who meant it for mankind, must reveal it to someone, and he was pleased to reveal it to me. You know what his first message was? What God hath wrought. Isn't that great? Not going to find that in your public school books, I guarantee you that. God give us praise to him. It's all wrapped up in him. In good times, bad times, happy times, sad times, praise God, folks. He's good. He really is. And God give us some young people from this school, ambassador, who will give their praise to God. Not some athlete, not some actor, not some musician. Now, I conclude by saying this. In the midst of a majority of unbelievers, I'm talking about Caleb in Numbers 14. They were unbelievers, the majority of them. In the midst of a majority of unbelievers, God said Caleb had another spirit. And even though he had the same circumstances, get this, same circumstances, he had a different spirit. He had the spirit of believing God, whatever he said. Following God completely. God, I'm going to give you everything. I'm holding back nothing anymore. It's all yours. He had the spirit of depending on God for victory, and giving God all the praise. For 45 years, Caleb's vision burned in his heart. And he wasn't content with the average. He wanted all God had for him. And as a result, God gave him Hebron. You know what the word Hebron means? It means fellowship. Isn't that a fitting place? Get this. He did not stop until he came into fellowship with his God. May the Lord help you with this. May God help you. Amen. Don't die with potential. Don't die with potential. And don't die before you die. Amen. Let's bow our heads together, please. I want to ask those who play the instruments if they wouldn't mind to come forward this time. Our Father, we love you. And I pray, God, that you'll bless. This, no doubt, is the message that you've laid on my heart. And I pray, God, that you've used it. And continue to use it. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. When they get prepared, they're going to begin to play through softly. Let me just ask some few questions here, then I'm going to turn the service over. May I remind you that you cannot have this different spirit without the Holy Spirit living in your heart. It's impossible. Do you have the Holy Spirit living in you? Has there been a time when you've trusted Christ and Christ alone? Not your good works, not your baptism, but Christ and His finished work on Calvary. If there hasn't, what a great way to start your Christmas break by trusting Christ as your Savior. But I want to ask this question. Is there one here to say, Jody, I'm not even sure I'm a Christian. I'm not sure I'm saved. I've come all the way through this semester and I'm still dealing with this. And I realize I can't have this other spirit without the Holy Spirit. Would you pray for me? Anybody like that? Would you raise your hand? Anybody at all? I'm looking. Let me ask you this. You say, Jody, I'm a Christian. But when God looks upon me, I do not believe that He can say the same thing about me as He said about Caleb. I'm burdened because I'm just convicted that as God looks at me, He couldn't say what He said. That my servant, put your name there, has another spirit, and they follow me fully. Have you say, Jody, God's speaking to me? I do not think that I can, that God can say that about me, but I have a desire for Him to be able to. Would you be honest? Would you raise your hand? Be an honest person. Be honest. Because I don't believe God can say that about me, but I want Him to. If you got your hand raised, I want you to lower it. I want you to look at me, please. That's a lot of you. Put your hands down. I want you to look right here. You know, it is possible. Because if it wasn't, it wouldn't be in God's Word. Just a moment, we're going to extend an invitation. It's none of our business what you're dealing with unless you want help with it. Wouldn't it be a great thing for you to give your life completely to God? Wouldn't that be great? The Lord help you do it, whatever you're dealing with. Giving Him the praise, depending on Him for victory, believing His Word, following Him fully, whatever. You come and you talk to God about it. And you start today. Amen. Start today. Let's all stand together, please. Our Father, take it, bless it in a mighty, mighty way and help these young people to respond, I pray, in Jesus' name. As they're playing through, if God's dealing with you, would you leave your place? Would you come? God help you with it.